Good morning, everybody. How are you today? Isn't it beautiful out? Wow. Great day to be here today. Let's see. Let's stand, and we're going to do the first one here. It's on the overhead, I think. Maybe, maybe not. There we go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the great, awesome God that you are. Thank you for this song, Lord, reminding us of who you are and that you do reign, Lord, and you are sovereign God. And what you say, you will do. Help us to know it, Lord. Help us to understand. Thank you that we can come to church today. Thank you for my church family, Lord. Thank you for all these folks who showed up to hear just a little bit of your word today. Our pastor's going to be preaching here pretty soon, Lord. Guide him and direct him. Use him today, Lord. Give him the dynamite that he needs, Lord, to bring forth your message that you laid in his heart. I pray it speaks to every person in here today, that we get something out of this, Lord, to use in our daily Christian life. But, Lord, most importantly, if someone needs you in any way, that person will get right before they leave today. Guide us, Lord, and direct us. Help us. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see, do we have another one on the overhead?
Yes, we do. Maybe we don't. They're working back there. Do what? Oh, this is Praise You the Lord? Oh, man, this Sunday school stuff. Okay, on the left here, sorry. Once you sing Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. And then I'm going to signal over here. You're going to stand. Praise You the Lord. You ready? Here we go. Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. Praise You the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. Praise You. You. I already prayed, so I'm out of line there. Let's see. How about we do announcements? That might work. Here we go. Our evening service tonight at 6 o'clock, so don't forget, come on back for that, folks. Get a little more of the Word. We're examining the verses that God used to open Martin Luther's eyes to salvation and more. Upcoming events here, communion is September the 3rd, personal evangelism the 5th and 19th of September. Iron Sharpens Iron on September the 2nd and 16th. Quarterly business meeting coming up again here September 10th. Women's Bible study is on the 12th. We have a family fun night on the 13th, and we have a church picnic down the street on the 16th. We have a film night the 17th. Stick around, folks. A lot of stuff going on. Let's see. Wilton Bible study, they got question marks on that one. And we have a women's missionary meeting. It's listed differently, but it should be August 29th. And it's going to be this week, and it's going to be in K. Terhune's home. Pastor's thought for the week. Sign on the Kelowna Sale Barn restaurant wall. The sun shines, God reigns, knowing a lot of conversation surrounds weather. Think about it, folks. Guys, you come forward. Go ahead, Doug.
I've got something for you, Lance. Just details about the announcement. Iron Sharpens Iron this Saturday. We're meeting a little earlier. We're trying that lately at 8:30. This Saturday we'll be here at the church. I know we've gone to the restaurant and tried different things. We was at the park a few weeks ago. So 8:30 here at the church, and we'll have breakfast refreshments to start out with at 8:30 and probably start the study at 9. So look forward to that. We have a lot of stuff going on, so I just want to make sure we got the details on the men's Bible study. All right.
Thank you, Doug. Now I'll ask the guys to come forward, and we'll do the morning offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for allowing us all to be here today, Lord. Get together. Handshake, Lord. A hug. A look in the eye. Whatever it took, Lord. I just thank you that we can show a little Christian love here today while we're amongst each other. Lord, we're anticipating a time now that we can give a small portion back to you, Lord. I just ask you to be with the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. Harris family's coming up. Let me get out of it.
My youngest two are going to join me today. My oldest is still getting her voice back from a cold, so she's going to sit this one out. The song that we're going to sing today is called Almost Home, and it's based a little bit out of Philippians 3, 14, and 15, where the Apostle Paul writes, I consider myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the high prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And that mark that Paul's talking about is like the goal line at a race. Have you guys ever run a race? And everyone that's run races knows the last leg is the hardest part. You're tired and exhausted. You're really out of energy. But if you don't give it your all through that last part, you don't win. Somebody else runs past. Well, as a Christian, if you are a believer, even if you don't finish strong, Jesus has got you in his power. And you cannot be lost. But because of his great love for us and what he's done for us, we should have a desire and a love back toward God and want to finish strong. There's no purpose in life except to live for Christ. So none of us are exempt from this race in life. We are all children of the Lord, and even those who are just about to pass into eternity, your race is not done yet. You're running right alongside of us younger ones and the youngest ones. So let's run the race strong together. Don't give up.
Oh, said, he, in paraphrasing this, but if we try to save our lives, we'll lose it. But we ought to give our lives to him. And, you know, what are we holding back for? It, you know, wherever you're at in life, it's time to give it all you got in the race with Jesus. So I challenge us on that. I appreciate that this morning, Rob. Greetings to all of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kim, if I could get you to help me here, we're going to spin this table. Today is our Children's Day. I'm going to get a podium switched around here quickly. So after we pray, I'll have young folks come on up forward, and you can come in behind the table so everyone can see you and see what we're going to do. This is kind of an off-the-cuff illustrative message this morning, our bi-monthly children's message. So anyway, hopefully, if you have children, grandchildren, so on and so forth, great-grandchildren, all kinds of illustrations in life, you can find the Lord Jesus, and you can find the factors about how we are in our humanity, in our sin. And so today we're going to have a vivid illustration about that. But before we begin, would you join me today in prayer? Welcome to everyone. If you're visiting, whatever the case may be, we're glad that you're here. Pray that this will be beneficial. I have something about sound. I'm on, Jason. And I'll see the green light.
Yes, maybe it was. Please forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Yes, I'm thankful he does. Anyway, let's join together in prayer this morning. Again, this is a time that our attitudes and hearts need to be brought into alignment with the Lord to give him glory and praise today. But I know that we all need this daily to just have a little private, quiet time with the Lord. And that let him know where we're at with him. And let him know that he is worthy. That's what worship is, demonstrating God's worthiness. So let's take that few moments, and then we'll have the kids come forward, and we'll begin with our illustrative message. As soon as I get it, yes, I have everything here. Let's bow for a few moments of silence. Oh Lord God, we come into your presence today. As the writer of Psalms told us, come into your presence with singing, enter into your courts with praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we do that today as we come into your presence. You are here with us today, Lord Jesus, wherever two or three are gathered. And I welcome you into our midst today. We want to let you know, Jesus, you are worthy. You are the one and true God. You are the Redeemer of mankind. You have bought us back from the slave market of sin with your precious blood and the penalty that you took upon your body on the tree of Calvary of the sins of all humanity. Now, Lord, we're thankful that you ended that with not a defeat, but you won the race there when you rose from the dead. And so that is the power of the living Savior today and the power that is afforded to those who have received him and have believed on his name. Lord, help us to be a powerful and mighty church today. Father, help us once again to draw closer to you in our walk. Now, Lord, we thank you today. And again, we always want to praise your name. Hallelujah. But Lord, we thank you again for all that have come out today, who have been identified today with those that are interested in you. We realize, though, today, including mine, our hearts may not be in the right mode in total today, Lord. And, Lord, I ask your forgiveness, but also your grace and help, because as we live in the flesh, even though we want to walk in the Spirit, the things of the flesh are still around us and within us. But I thank you, Lord, that your presence through the Holy Spirit will help us. He's the one that comes alongside, the comforter and the convictor. And I pray, Lord, that he would be active in all of our lives and in this service today for your glory. Now, Lord, we realize that we've been missing a lot of people here at Fruitland through this summer. And I don't know, Lord, what's going on with everyone. Some have been on vacations, but we know, Lord, that there are times when people fall away, people get angry, People have all kinds of things that affect. Sometimes they're ill. Lord, sometimes emotional needs intercede. But I pray, Lord, in the weeks to come that you would regather our flock here at Fruitland. Put us in the positions we need to be, Lord, to serve you and make us mighty, Lord, I pray, for your cause and for your efforts. Now, Lord, I do pray for those that are struggling today in any way, whether it be health or the other issues I've mentioned. But today I also ask, Lord, that you'd help me to illustrate this, that this would be a clear picture, not only as we look at the example, but, Lord, also in your word. And, Lord, that we would leave here changed with hope and, Lord, with the knowledge that, once again, if we'll come to you, you, again, will direct and guide our lives in totality if we'll allow it. Now, may you be pleased in what takes place here today, Lord. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. All right, young people, come on up. Even if you're not young, if you want to be up here and look in on things. And we have a little bit of an example here this morning that I want to talk about briefly. Miss Kim is going to help me this morning with this. We have had our hands in many tomatoes this summer. But young folks, help me, and if you can't see, move up. There's nothing wrong with moving up. If you can't hear, move up. There's always, by the way, the best seats in the house are in the front because no one uses them, right? Okay, girls, why don't you come behind the table here so we can see a little bit better here. And what we've got are a few tomatoes here in this bunch. Now, can you describe what you see in these tomatoes this morning? Any of you girls, can we go through and look? Well, come on, don't be shy. Here, let's move them up here, and we'll put the bowl up front. Whoops, I'm going to mess up Miss Kim's fancy tablecloth. Ellie, what can you tell me?
Some are a bit yellow, and this one's very bruised.
Okay. So you're saying like this one, that's from the sun, by the way, that yellowness on top. It's a nice tomato, but it doesn't maybe look like the ideal tomato that we might see, right? And you also pointed out that this one has a big bruise on it. Or was it? No, it's this one. Yeah, and there's actually some juice running out of it. And it actually looks like it's what? See it there? It's just about ready to become rotten, okay? And we have one here that maybe is what?
Small.
Vonnie? Small, right? A little bit smaller. Okay. You know, you can find a lot of representations in these fruits that we're looking at that apply to people. Okay. We don't probably have a perfect tomato here today. But if we had a tomato that was really good, and this one's not, well, I don't know. I like this one, I guess, right offhand. But, you know, for someone that's saved and walking with the Lord, that could be an example of what? A tomato that looks pretty good on the surface. But understand, you know, what happens with fruit, there's a lot of things that can take place. Girls, what happens with fruit? If you left these tomatoes out on a table for several weeks, what would happen?
They'd rot.
They would probably rot. That's right. And they would not be good for us to eat, wouldn't be good. But what we want to think about here this morning is what happens a lot of times when you put these in a bowl. So I'm going to ask you gals to put these in a bowl this morning. Okay. And by the way, these tomatoes could represent, as I mentioned before, our own individual lives and so forth. But do one of you girls or someone in the audience this morning, tell me what's going to take place here in this bowl? Let's say, for instance, though, that we do pull out the bad one this morning. This is the bad one, okay? If we keep all these that are better in that bowl, they're going to last longer, right? But if we put this one that's rotted in here, what's going to take place?
They're all
going to rot. Yep, because when this one touches this one or this one or this one and it begins to touch the others, it can cause other people, okay, to be touched by our sin. And also, if we would be the rotten one, If we have unconfessed sin in our lives and we're struggling with sin and we've not taken those things to the Lord, what will happen further with this tomato? It's going to continue to decay and get more rotten. So there's some points that we want to illustrate with that from our message this morning. Kim, did you have something you wanted to add to this?
Well, this is what I like to do with my life. I take that sin and I cover it up. Does that work? Can I hide it where nobody can see it? Well, you might not be able to see it, but God can. So we cannot cover our sin. And like Pastor John said, it's eventually going to spread anyway to the ones around it. And so we cannot cover our sin. God can with his blood.
Yep. But the good thing about it is we're all potentially rotten fruit. Okay? But Jesus can renew that fruit in us and cause us to be, again, attractive and walking in a life in the light of the Lord that can be beneficial. So anyway, today as you pick up an apple or any other fruit, or you consider other illustrations in life, consider that. How are the effects of sin? What things happen with that because of that? Kim, anything else you'd like to say? Okay, but one thing that we have to remember, if we compare our life to this bowl, if we confess our sins and we take our sins out of that bowl and give them to the Lord, it's going to improve the bowl, okay? It's going to improve our life, and it'll keep it from continuing to get worse. And I have a few things I'm going to talk about regarding that this morning. So, girls, you might like to go back and join your families. Thanks for coming up to help us. If you'd like some tomatoes, you could take those. Yeah. 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 Well, as we all know, sin is a transgression against God's holiness. It's that simple, folks. And the Bible's very clear on that. We're all sinners. We all are in this potential, okay? And we know that the effects of what take place with unchecked sin can be detrimental. Sin is like a rot within us if it's unchecked. So there's several principles that I'd like to illustrate to us this morning. And we know this, the main principles I just alluded to is that if you're a bad tomato today, if you're struggling with sin in your life, you're going to have an effect on all the tomatoes around you. And it's going to be an effect on yourself as well, as it decays first and goes on. So, you know, we have to be prepared about that, that the bad tomatoes, unchecked, either in our life or around others, is going to get worse, okay? So we know there's a remedy in Jesus Christ. He can make that tomato whole again. He can remove that rot and stop the decay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. So that's the first principle we want to remember, is that unchecked sin is going to worsen. Unchecked sin is going to worsen, and it's going to spread to other parts of our life. So this is a very serious thing. Sin is the most serious thing that affects the human. It really is. It can affect our health. It can affect our emotional stability. But most of all, it affects our relationship with Jesus Christ. But thankfully, we have a Savior who loves sinners, and a Savior who cares about sinners, and a Savior who came to rescue us from our sins. Hallelujah, praise God. I get excited about that. That's the whole message. That's why we're here today, folks. We're here, again, to thank God for what he has done. By the way, if you're here this morning apart from Jesus Christ, you're a rotten tomato. All the rest of us are rotten tomatoes, too, that have been preserved by Jesus, if you called on him for salvation. But never forget that. A bad tomato will only get worse. The second thing that we need to remember about that is that it eventually spreads to other parts of our life. Sin never gets better. If it's not checked, it gets worse. I'd like you to turn in your scriptures today to Proverbs 13:6. We're going to be doing a little exercise in the scriptures today. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 6 says, "Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way." Okay, by the way, Jesus is our righteousness that's imputed to us at salvation, but right living in Christ with his protection keeps us in the way. God will never leave you nor forsake you, friend, And that's something, you know, if you're discouraged or depressed about something today, get over it. Because we have every reason to be excited about what God is doing. If you'll walk with Him, if you'll lay the things of your life in His hands, cast your cares upon Him, let me tell you something, folks, your life will be exciting. It may have a lot of trouble, but it'll be exciting. But here's what that verse says. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way. But, read this, my friends, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. If you don't let Jesus clean that rot out of your tomato, if you continue to do it, it's not only going to bring you down to new depths and new lows, but it's going to bring everyone that you touch in peril as well. God wants today to see your fruit restored to health, okay? That would not continue to go on. So that's one of the big dangers. A bad tomato worsens itself, and it eventually spreads to other parts of its own life and to those around us. So that's the next thing, is that it spreads to the others around us that are in the container, and it is a catalyst for more sin, okay? So in other words, if we put the rotten tomato back in this bowl, eventually it will do what? It'll consume the entire bowl. Yep. And this whole bowl will rot. By the way, that's been proven many times over with any of this. It doesn't take very long either in weather like we had last week. You know, when the right conditions prevail in our lives, the rot and the sin can grow immensely. By the way, did any of you have a little shorter fuse in the hot weather? I just looked over your way, Kim. By the way, I usually don't stare people in the eyes. I kind of look, you know, I don't want to put anyone on the spot. Although, if the shoe fits, wear it, right? Faith, I like your smile. It's encouraging today. Yeah. Yeah. So it spreads the other tomatoes. And it'll take out the whole container because it's the catalyst for increasing sin, both in ourselves and those around us. Now, I'd like you to look at John 16, 7 through 8 real quickly. John 16, 7 through 8. Now, I mentioned earlier how serious sin is. By the way, it's very serious. This morning in our high school class, junior high class, we studied in 1 John chapter 5. Where the Bible gets very explicit through the Apostle John about sin. And it says, there is a sin unto death. I believe John was writing in that condition in two ways, but primarily he was talking to believers. He was saying that if believers fall into sin and it's unconfessed and it becomes a pattern in our lives, there might be a time when God says, you know what, I love you so much, I can't let you keep doing this to yourself, the rotten tomato, or to the others. And I may take you home, okay? This is a serious thing, folks. Our sin is worthy of death. But praise God, you know, God in His third personality, the Holy Spirit, when He comes alongside, when He indwells the life of a believer, praise God, unless we quench it, He tells us, He convicts us, He shows us about our sin. And He causes us to what? To bring that to the foot of the cross. By the way, friends, what's talked about in the book of 1 John, you know, we'll always struggle with sin. But if you sin habitually with no Holy Spirit conviction that tries to say, get it set straight, this is not the way you should go, then you got a problem with your salvation. Because a saved person will always be convicted by the Spirit of our sin. It's very serious stuff. Anyway, this kind of brings us to light. John chapter 16, and we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 8 here today. And Jesus is talking here, and He's talking about that very thing of the Holy Spirit. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, in other words, He's going to go back to heaven after He died on the cross and rose again, and He ascended back into heaven, because if I go not away, the Comforter, that's the word in the Greek, parakletos, the one who comes alongside. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the convicting force. He's the presence within us, within the believers. And He's here in the world today reproving people of their sin. He will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Praise God for the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. Now the next verse. And when he is come, he will reprove. He will convict. That's what that word means. The world of sin. The Holy Spirit was sent, my friends, to show us, to open our eyes to our sin, to open it to the blessedness of our salvation when Jesus redeems us through his blood. Our sin situation is so bad, it is so rotten like these fruits, that God sent the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and to show us this is not the way, but the Lord is there and he is mighty and strong to forgive us. He does not want us to continue to rot in sin. He'll convict the world. Think about that, the world and the sin that is in the world. He'll convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. By the way, you can't know the effects of sin unless you know the blessings of righteousness. Every one of us needs a bath. I usually take one every day, whether I need it or not. Most days I need it because I'm dirty. And there's always evidence in our bathtub. I have to clean it all the time. We've got some really hard water since we got a new well. And the grease, it's like an oil slick. When I'm working with greasy things. But I'm the cleaner of the tub because I make the messes. But folks, we need cleaned up. We need to throw out the rotten tomatoes. See, because if we don't, it's going to turn into something that's pathetic. That's how far we can sink in our sin. The Holy Spirit, God in the Holy Spirit had to come because this is such a serious thing to clean this up, to turn it around, because sin, again, spreads and it goes to other people and eventually it'll take the whole thing. You know, I believe this, a family, a nation, any entity that you can think of, when its sin is not brought under the blood of Christ, when it is unchecked, when it is not redeemed, it will destroy itself. It's self-destructive. Oh, Lord, help us to turn from our sin today and turn to the Savior. Well, obviously, the remedy for this, though, in this case, we're going to go into the book of 1 Corinthians for just a minute, is today the best thing to do here to preserve what we have is what? And where'd that rotten one? Here it is. By the way, if you ever want to throw rotten tomatoes, you can come see me. And I'll supply all your needs. So the best thing that we can do for this bowl today, if we want to see this preserved, is to what? Separate it out of the bunch. If that is our life, if this bowl represents our life, the best thing we can do sooner than later is remove this before it continues to cause damage. Let's go to 1 Corinthians this morning, chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to begin with verse 6. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. Did you know that churches can get dirty? That churches can become bogged down and mired in their sin? It's worth thinking about Fruitland. Amen. We need to, folks. But here it is. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, which was not a good church. It was a church that was bogged down in their sins. That doesn't mean they weren't, some of them were not saved. They were, but they were struggling as a church. And Paul says, he's going to illustrate what we learned with the tomatoes here this morning. He says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Now, Paul's not talking about tomatoes here, but he's talking about dough. And I'm no expert with dough, but yeast, if you put a little bit of yeast into dough, it will do what? I think I've seen Kim do this before. She might put some dough in a container and it'll blow the top off of it. Because yeast, and by the way, in the Bible, yeast is a symbol for sin. Yeast grows. And Paul's saying, this is what's going on here in the church at Corinth. He says, therefore, we need to purge out, we remove the tomato, purge out therefore the old leaven that you may be a new lump as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He says what? Jesus came, cast these sins upon him. He came. He's the sacrifice. Again, that causes us to be able to be have our sins expunged. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Jesus always wants us to come back to purity, to see the sin thrown out before it causes further destruction. He gives a little more vivid illustration here in verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle or letter not to keep company with fornicators. By the way, in case you've wondered about this in the scriptures, a lot of people say, well, we have to be careful to be separated from the world. Yes, that's correct. In other words, we don't want to adapt to the world's sinful ways. But you know what the Bible says more about is don't adapt and come into close fellowship with a sinning brother or sister in Christ. But help them. Please help me today. That's the first thing. The Christians, we've got to be careful with the tomatoes because of this detriment of sin. By the way, today, this is why Fruitland exists. It's for healing. We need each other. We need help with each other. We should never judge someone about their sin, but say, how can I help you? I need your help in turn. This is a hospital, folks, where Jesus, the doctor, will help us to get well. Very important. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, Paul says, or with the covetous or extortioners, all types of sinners or idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. We can't leave the world, folks, but we can be different than the world through Christ. Okay? But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother, a fellow believer, be a fornicator or covetous or idolater or railer or drunkard or an extortioner, with such and one, not to eat or have fellowship with. But folks, we don't banish people when they fall into sin. Christ does not banish us. But what we need to do is what? To seek to gently restore someone to Jesus, to say, I am in the same boat. Let's help each other. That's what the church is here for, folks. And if we get that wrong, the church becomes of no effect. Because this is a place where people can get well. We're all sick, but Jesus will help us. But he says it has to start right here in the container. This morning in front of us that is tomatoes. For what have I to do to judge them that are on the outside? Do not you judge that are within? And so what Paul's illustrating in this is, again, we need to see the sin in our personal lives and in the churches pulled out of the container and placed under the blood of Christ. Okay, that was the third point, right? And then the last thing, well, not quite the last, but rotten and worthlessness has to be destroyed. And so we know this, that God will judge sin. Romans 6:23 and many other places in Scripture say essentially the same thing. For the wages or the payback of sin is death. And if we let this rotten tomato sit here long enough, and I've had some of these things happen, I've picked up old buckets or something, where eventually this will turn into what? Dust. To dust, eventually. It'll rot away. Yeah. Rottenness and worthlessness will be destroyed. The payback for sin is death, eternal death. But folks, we do not need to be under that eternal death sentence today. We can come into the eternal life privilege through Jesus Christ, through forgiveness that's made very abundant to us when he died for the sins of the world and covered our sins. He remitted our sins with his precious blood. Thank you, Jesus. I'll tell you what, we ought to be so excited, even when we don't know songs. We ought to come into this building praising the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Did you see what I put on the sign out there? Have you praised God today? I wonder if anyone looks at that when they drive by. More importantly, though, I wonder if they think about it. And I'll tell you what, folks, that's how you keep that bowl clean. when you give glory to God every day. Lord, help me, help us. Anyway, the removal of sin through Jesus is vast. I want to show you just a few verses, and we will be done early today. I lied last week, Ginger. We were a couple minutes late. Lord, forgive me, and you folks too. Psalm 86:15. We're going to roll through these quickly here. Psalm 86:15. But think about Jesus today. Think about yourself. How are you in your bowl? How's your fruit today? Rotten? Headed for spoilage? Made whole, protected and preserved in Christ. Psalm 86:15. Remember when we think about the Lord. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you deal with someone like me. Thank you that you work with rotten tomatoes and turn them into good ones. Psalm 103. Have you ever read the 103rd Psalm? Permit me just to look at a few high points here. By the way, who wrote this psalm? David. David struggled with sin. David found the Savior. You know what? I always am thankful for David because that means there's hope for me. And what did David say first thing off here? He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." By the way, that's found six times in this psalm. "May God be praised, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Benefits, folks. By the way, whenever I used to hire people at the barrel plant, the first thing they asked me is, "What are the benefits?" I said, "Well, hard work will never..." Folks, Jesus has the ultimate benefit plan. Hallelujah. "Who forgiveth some iniquities." All iniquities. Hey, that's who I want to know, folks. I don't want to wonder if some of my sins are forgiven and some aren't, but Jesus forgives every iniquity. He'll keep that bowl clean, folks. Yes, He will. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases." How can you not say hallelujah, praise God, when you read this psalm with David, right? "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Oh, Lord. "Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles." See, there it is, renewal. Jesus keeps our tomato from rotting. And it's always a perfect tomato by His doing. Yeah. "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." Anyone praise God for that today? We've all been oppressed, right? Wrongly in many, but God's got it handled. No worries. "He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel." Read His history. God's got it right. He's the one you want to be with today. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide or strive, neither will He keep His anger forever." I like that. I admit, there's some things probably in my life I could be a little bit torqued about for a long time. But God's not that way with me. How dare I have that kind of anger toward someone else, right? Thank you, Jesus. "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him," or that respect Him, that understand who He is. Folks, we need to get on the right side of God today. Get the right view of God. Don't keep taking on the things of the flesh and the things that Satan says about God, but take Him at His word. He's a wonderful God. As far as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that beautiful stuff? It's done with Jesus. He holds it against us no more. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He's tender. That's what that word means. God is tender with us when we respect him and recognize him for who he is. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are... You know what? It'd do us all very well. I mentioned that earlier. That tomato, left alone, will turn back to dirt. We came from the earth. It's only the spirit of life that God gave humanity. But you know what? God loves the dust of the earth that he created it in to the human life. He knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. We've come from a humble beginning apart. Again, only by God has he instituted life. He remembers us. He knows we're weak. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. By the way, life's short, folks. It could end for any of us today. Thank God for life today. Thank God that that choice is still before us. Whether you're here apart from Christ, you have that choice today to receive this God that's being talked about here in the Scriptures. If you're still alive today as a saved person, there is yet time for you to draw closer to God. You know, Autumn, you sang that, and the girls, about the race. Some of us are in the last turn of that race. Could even be a young person here today. Give it everything you got and give it to God. But the mercy of the Lord, verse 17, is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that, again, fear him, acknowledge him, respect him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Folks, today what you do will have an effect just like this bowl with your offspring, for good or for bad. To such as keep his covenant and those that remember his commandments to do them, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. There's good stuff coming around the corner. It's already here, but it's even going to be much better. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's bless the Lord today, folks. Let's let him clean up the rot. Let's let him preserve the good. Let's enjoy what he's given us, the fruit of God. A couple more verses. You know, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, sometimes he'll forgive us our sin. He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeah, that's the God that we serve. He's the one that wants to hear from me and you today. He wants us to stay up to date with him. He wants us to walk with him in sweet fellowship all the days of our life. And then 2 Peter 3:9. Sometimes we use this verse in other ways, but I think it applies today very much. And it fits right in with what we're talking about today. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. In other words, he's made a lot of promises to us. One of the promises is this: when he told Adam and Eve, you mess around with disobeying me, there's going to be a price to pay. The wages of sin is death. But I always like Romans 6:23, but, and as I say, thank God for buts, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice what Peter wrote here. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He's going to deliver. He told it right. Your sin's going to cause you to not only physically die, but spiritually die, unless you take the pass. And that pass is Jesus. The Lord is not slack. In other words, God's wheels of justice are turning. His timing is perfect. These things will all come to pass in our lives and in the life of his creation and his design. But notice this, He's not slack, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward. God loves us so much, he hasn't dropped a hammer yet. He loves you and I in this room so much this morning, he hasn't dropped a hammer on many of us that he should have probably. You know? He's not willing that any should go to hell, to perish. By the way, know this, friends, God doesn't send anyone to hell. People send themselves. He doesn't want you to go there. We should never want. I hear people say this all, I wish they'd go to hell. You stupid people. You better think about that. Could you wish that on anyone? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants people to turn around. That's the message. And then the last turn today. Ginger, we're still on time. Isaiah 55:7. Thanks for putting up with me again for one more Sunday. Isaiah 55:7. Denny, talk to me, brother. One of your favorite verses, I believe. Isaiah 55:7. Here it is. This is God's will, folks, for us. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. That's what God wants from us today. He wants that in my life. And believe me, folks, I'm working with some of those issues in my life. Are you today? Because that's the will of God. Quit doing what you're doing. Quit going on the path you're on and come to me. Turn around and face me. I'm there with loving eyes and open arms. His thoughts and his ways, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy. Is what? Giving us what we didn't deserve. Grace is giving us undeserved favor. I might have said that wrong. You help me on that. We're running out of time. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God. For notice that? No matter where you're at today, if you turn to him, he'll come with open arms abundantly and say, I forgive you. He wants this dealt with. And he's a kind and gentle Savior. But understand, if we don't come to him, this is the end of it. It's destruction. Today's the day to get turned around, folks, wherever we're at in our lives. There's no one in here that's perfectly righteous. Our righteousness is all imputed to us through Christ. We need to make movements on this. Today, I trust that you'll move if God's talked to you. Here's the conclusion. The consequences of sin bear our serious attention. The consequences of sin bear our serious attention. Amen. But thankfully, serious attention should be given to Jesus for our pardon as he works with sinners like you and me. If we need his pardon today, take it. But if we are not in that need today, thank him that he has pardoned us and will pardon us in the future if we'll go to him. That's the power, folks. That's the power of Christ. It's the power of the good news of the gospel. He works with sinners like you and me. Amen. We're 1 minute early. Let's stand, if you're able today, take your hymnal, 711. And I've got to find one here. This is a little chorus. It's an old chorus, but basically this, you know, Jesus sees those that are his saved, his redeemed, his children, and today was a children's-oriented message. But you know what? He sees us as little jewels. Today, can you say for sure that you're one of Christ's jewels? We can know today, folks. We can read the Word, and we can trust God, and we can act today to receive him, to believe on his name and be saved. We can trust Him today to say that He'll cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. We can trust Him today that He will work with us wherever we're at. He's a great God. I want to be there. I want to be one of His jewels in His crown for all eternity. I hope you do too. Let's sing today. If God's working in your heart, you can deal with Him. You can even come forward publicly. And if you need something, I'll be here to help you. And I may need your help too today. But thank God for this great day here as we gather together. When He cometh, when He cometh to make up His jewels, all His jewels, precious jewels, His love and His own. I'm so glad you came today. We'll talk here in just a minute. The morning His bright crown. Today, I trust that you'll have a good day in the Lord, that you'll digest some of the things we heard today, and I'm going to ask the deacons to greet the congregation today as you depart, and today I'm going to ask Denny Wheeler if he would close this time in prayer, and may you have a blessed day in the Lord.
Today will be come to our remembrance.